This is the place where sports opinions collide, dead in sports. I'm your host, Kenneth B. Inge. Joining me as usual is Nick from the No Disrespect Podcast.
Oh, you got that wrong, Ken. You mean disrespectful podcast.
Yeah. How long are we going to keep that up?
I'm going to keep it up as long as this man here. Because I got some hot takes already for this episode. So, go ahead. Okay, call me right. Mr. No Disrespect.
That was FIFO and, of course, BZ430. The NBA season kicks off October 16th, right? Is that right?
I think, 16 or 17.
A week from today.
Oh. Yep, week from today.
Tonight, that Tuesday.
Yeah, we got our fantasy basketball draft.
Yep, Sunday.
Sunday.
I'm good.
I cannot believe you being a basketball. It's not. You can manage it once a week.
I'm gonna go, because you sent me the link, right?
You going to play?
Yeah, I'll play.
Have you played before?
Yeah. I've done it before. That's why I was saying, like, I understand.
It's a money league, though.
Oh, yeah, I saw you said 50.
I am going to do 50. I was going to do 35. We would have got 12. But since we only got 10, it's going to be, well, we still need one more. So.
Oh, yeah.
I seen the link.
Well, that'll make 11, though.
No, we got, because one guy, the guy that normally play, he's not playing this year.
Oh, okay, so yeah. He'll be 12?
No, it'll be 10 still.
We had somebody drop out.
Yeah,
okay, cool.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
All right, it's competitive. Hey. I mean, it's this.
I won last year, didn't I?
No, you didn't win last year.
Who won last year?
Eradicators. You remember Eradicators?
Oh, yeah, because he always had his teams every year be killing.
Then
get to the playoffs and lose.
But he won it last year.
So I'm so used to winning. It's just, you know, it just felt like I won.
The draft is this Sunday, 9 p.m.
That's cool.
All right. Yeah. Fantasy football is going on. How y'all looking?
I took an L this week from both leagues.
Man, I lost all four of my leagues, including the one me and you was.
Yeah, we got smashed. Yeah,
it was a bad week.
I'm so
for
mad
everybody.
Because Drake. I had Drake and Thomas from Broncos.
Demaryius Thomas.
Yeah, on the bench, and they had their best week.
Hey, Drake went off.
He went off. But the last previous, like, 2-3 weeks, he been giving me, like, 4 points, 3 points, and Thomas gave me, like, 2 points and then 3 points. So I was like, man, I'm benching him this week. And then they, of course.
That's how it always is.
My God, are you kidding me? So.
And then next week they're going to give you a
right, I'm
going to
play him. I'm going to play him this week, and I'm going to see what they're going to do. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I won in the leagues that mattered. So
this fool said the leagues that mattered.
Yeah, playing against y'all. So 4-1, 2-3, so. Trying to get there in some leagues, but yeah, and then the one at B&B co-managed, we got destroyed. So we had no plays on the mint, so I'm cool with that. So that's that. But yeah, we may switch those over to pay leagues too, because some of y'all be out there tripping. Y'all be signing up and wanting to play and they don't play. So, so it's going to be heavy basketball. And we're gonna touch on, you know, the NFL. I know we left some takes out there that we need to bring back and address. And then right now baseball is going on, so it looks like Boston right now up 4-0 over the Yankees.
They beat them 16-1 yesterday.
16-1. They started Sabathia tonight. I don't know why. I knew they were gonna get to him, but the Yankees don't have, like, I don't know if you guys remember, but back in the day they used to have these old school throwback veteran pitchers like Pettit, you know, Mussini that you could throw out there. They'll be terrible down the stretch. And then you put them in a playoff game, lock them down. One run, no runs over 6 or 7 innings. They ain't got that anymore, man. Sabathia, they holding on to it, man. J-Hab got destroyed. Severino got destroyed because they wanted to run him out there on 3 days rest, I think. And he's not ready for that. Mm-hmm. Not yet. Mm-hmm. So the Braves, you know, Nick, you know, I think that was one of the first things he said. He was like, man, yeah, not looking good for your Braves.
Remember what FIFO said about the Georgia
teams. They got one, didn't they? Yeah, I think they got one. Acuna hit a grand slam, so he did his thing. But, I mean, it's the Dodgers, man. Manny Machado, they should win it. Kershaw pitched well, so maybe he turned around his postseason struggles. And then the Astros smashed the mess out of Cleveland. And then the Brewers' hot streak continues. So they swept the Rockies. So they're moving on. So I think the unfinished business right now are, you know, the Boston Red Sox. So then after that, we'll see what happens. So so that's how things are looking right now. The better teams are winning. So anyway, man, NFL. I think the first thing that caught my eye last week was Thursday night. and it was a 50-yard touchdown to Josh Gordon, who we had this long discussion.
Yep.
I knew this was coming. I just knew this was coming. As soon as I seen it, I was like, out of all the plays, I know they're going to pick this one to talk about.
Sports we opinions collide, bro. The motto is real on this show.
You were strong, man. Your opinion was – your take was strong.
It still is. That play, I mean, that was
– how can
anyone who watched
see,
that game and saw that touchdown knows that that was not a design touchdown.
But that's speaks to the talent of Josh Gordon and what he can
– that speaks
bring.
To the Colts secondary.
Oh, come on, man.
Let's be honest. Keep it a buck.
To a certain degree, yes. But would he have thrown that pass up to Edelman like that or
nope.
any of those other receivers?
Edelman, we already know what Edelman is. He's a slot receiver. Anything in the middle, anything, shallow cross, all that stuff. Edelman is not going down the field. He never has, never will be.
But that's the point,
so
though.
I get that, but I'm just saying, but they've had other players who are down the field players. That
like who, Cordarrelle Patterson?
No, I'm just saying like in the like last year, for example, like Edelman was there, but they had Cooks. And I know you guys are saying that Gordon is going to be that replacement for the like downfield
just,
threat.
Yeah, just
but
talent.
That touchdown was – if that play wasn't even made, he still has horrible numbers like for the last
because
couple weeks.
They're still bringing him on slowly. He's still trying to integrate himself into, you know, the system, learn the playbook. But I think it just gave you a glance at what he could potentially bring if everything comes together. So, and I think that was – I think Brady just honestly, you know, he just threw that up.
Exactly. Like, that's what I mean. It was just –
since four, you know.
No, but also how Josh Gordon readjusted himself for that catch. Yeah. Like, that's the kind of thing that separates him. You know what I'm saying? And why I consider him – when on the field, one of the elite wide receivers. Because bum wide receivers, guess what? They let the DB kind of outplay him, get a hand on it, pick it off. But the way that he's able to maneuver at that size and still have the agility, the quickness, the speed, the jumping ability, all of those things, we saw it. We saw the difference that Josh Gordon on the field makes for that team.
Yeah, downfield threat.
That's why they had to get
him. They were already dismantling the Colts before that touchdown.
I understand. So all like that. But the thing is that see I feel that oftentimes you need to provide context because you're 100% right. Yeah, they were beating them. They didn't need Josh Gordon to beat the Colts. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
Nah.
The Colts are a very talent deprived team and they have been since they drafted Andrew Luck, which is their biggest problem. However, I do think that they do have the front office to turn that around. But however, let's digress back to Josh Gordon and the Patriots. The reason why you go get a guy like this is because he can make those plays.
Mm-hmm.
And against other teams, you need a guy like that to make those plays. You didn't necessarily need it against Indianapolis, but he's proven – you know, with his time on the field with the Browns and now in his, you know, first game that he played, that he can provide that. The way you build a team, especially in the NFL, there's certain things that you need, right? And there's certain things that you can kind of overdo to kind of mask what you don't have, right? The Patriots for forever, before they got Randy Moss, what were they the innovators of? We're going to run double tight end sets, Aaron Hernandez and Gronk.
Mm-hmm.
And they killed the seam route. Then what did they do? They said, okay, well, we don't got, you know, outside threats. We got two tight ends. Let's just get a whole bunch of underneath guys. And that's how they've been able to do it. But the way this team is constructed, obviously Edelman has been out. Right, like he was suspended, what, 4 or 5 games?
Yeah, four games.
You know what I'm saying? So you didn't have your underneath guy. Gronk, everybody's double teaming or putting their best big corner on them, taking them out the game. So what else do you have? You don't really have a running game because they never had a running game. You don't have a defense to get you more opportunities, right, with takeaways. So you need a guy on the outside to open it up for everybody else. I want to say it's simple math, but if you just have two eyes and you understand the concepts of football, you understand that this team was deprived out there at the wideout position. And Josh Gordon fills that void. Not saying he's the greatest.
Not saying he's Randy, but
he has a skill set similar in terms of speed, agility, hands.
That's just God-given.
It's just God-given. Yeah. put him out there, bro. He's going to make a difference. So for you to previously say that, you know, he's not the greatest and he's not a difference maker, that, I just think that that's short-sighted.
I mean, but you said that to start off that whole, you know, that point that you were making. They were already beating the Colts. That play, they didn't need Josh Gordon to win the game.
But let me
so add, it, mm-hmm. to me, it just shows that was garbage time. Anybody who had Josh Gordon on your fantasy league, congrats, you got some points for that. He showed up for once. But outside of the scheming throughout that whole game, where was he? How was he being utilized?
I the first game back, plus he tweaked his hamstring.
It was like a second game.
No. He didn't play the first game because they held him out. This was the first game that he played. This is the second game he was with the team. So there's still a lot that goes into it. However, again, me saying you being short-sighted, this Josh Gordon pickup isn't to beat the Colts. It's down the line in the playoffs when they have to go against a Jalen Ramsey. Can you imagine the field day that the Jags would have with this Patriots team without Josh Gordon?
Oh, my God. We already saw it. Yeah, and to your point, would he have been able to make that play against the Jaguars secondary? Probably not. You know, because we saw what Jalen Ramsey was doing with Tyreek Hill. You know,
I said Tyreek did get him one time.
Tyreek's good. Yeah, it's going to happen.
But you know what? I love how Jalen pointed out you made the Pro Bowl team as a return specialist.
Right.
Me as a DB, you as a return specialist.
So much shade.
But you
disrespectful.
But it was 100% accurate.
That's true. It's facts.
And he kind of proved it. Jalen Ramsey is legit the best quarterback in football right now.
I love
him. And also, what I was thinking about during that game, too, is like Tyreek Hill, is he a number one receiver?
No.
So then,
he's not.
So for me, it was like, okay, so if he's not your number one receiver, he's probably what, the second, third option sometimes?
He's just fast.
I'm saying. That's all
he's a weapon.
Just fast.
Yeah.
So for him to say, like, I'm the best and I want to go against the best, it was kind of like.
No, but it was a reach
for him.
No. But you know what that proved? Even you little, small, strong, speedy guys ain't enough to be. Because think about in the past, right? Like, some of the greatest quarters since Deion. Have been great or the best in the game, but they have flaws in their game. They can get beat by little guys like DeSean Jackson and speedy guys like that, or they could get out-muscled, you know, like Megatron would do some small corners and things like that. I think Jalen was just trying to prove a point. It don't matter who you are. If you line up out here, whether you fast, slow, possession, this, that, and the third, you going to get work. And I think that was the point that he's – because he's at a point of his career where he has to back up his talk. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
His play just isn't enough right now. Mm-hmm. And not saying that his play isn't good enough to speak for it, but this is the NFL. Like, nobody knows this man's face. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like you got to be your best self-promotion. And that's what he's doing. And he's just out here. Everybody know Tyreek Hill. Everybody know Kansas City's offense. Everybody know the L.A. Rams. You know what I'm saying? The Jags are still being slightly disrespected. Also, I don't know if you guys saw the headline saying that the Jags are a Super Bowl team, but the reason why they're not considered is because of Blake Bortles. That's more bulletin board material, more ammo for Jalen Ramsey to prove his case, to keep talking smack, and to keep locking people down.
Can he play quarterback too?
Huh?
Can he play quarterback
too? No, he can't.
They threw Odell out there for the Giants, so maybe they might throw Ramsey to throw a touchdown.
Probably.
Because, I mean, even with that, especially with going against Kansas City, because that's the team that I think everybody can look at and say, okay, this might be the one that represents
the Rams.
AFC.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
So,
well, you're talking about for the AFC.
For the AFC, yeah. So with that being said, and then they also lose in that game, it's like no matter how great that defense is, a quarterback, you still need a quarterback to get through.
Yeah, I'm not sold on Kansas City yet.
So based off of what week five, week six, are we?
Yeah, we're in week six. But
okay, so
in the week six.
After all the football we've seen, who would you say would represent the AFC and the NFC right now in the Super Bowl as of today?
It's easy to say. It's the Rams and the Chiefs.
Okay, B?
Rams and Chiefs.
Ken?
Patriots.
Get the
Patriots or the Steelers, bro.
I will say the way the Saints played yesterday And the fact
that's your Super Bowl pick.
Yeah, the fact that so I haven't given up on them, but I mean you were saying just right now.
Yeah, just right now.
But with the Pats, I told y'all in the beginning, they have guaranteed 6 games. Like all they have to do is win 4 games or like 5 games. Outside of that,
yeah, you're right.
It's just because look at like in their division, they have 2 rookie quarterbacks. That's 4 games.
I
want
to apologize to Ryan Tannehill for cursing him. Ever since I said that, he's more. He's
and then you got the wide receiver trying to play quarterback in Miami. So, so that's why it's just 6 games. You win your division, you're already in the playoffs. So at that point, you're just talking about seeding.
Yeah, and they look like they got it together. Like their last 2 games have been impressive.
But again, but they were against the Dolphins and the Colts. So those are 2 horrible teams.
Whoa! Who was advocating for the Dolphins about a week or two ago?
That was him. That was me. I told you. He brought that stat out.
That's why he was apologizing.
Yeah, that's why I was apologizing. Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. I don't think the Dolphins are a horrible team.
I don't think
they're
so.
Horrible. What the Pats do to them,
It's not even that. Cincinnati Bengals. Shout out to, I don't know what they got, what they feeding Andy, but he, keep doing it. I don't know if he got a black woman feeding some good home cooking or something, but keep doing it. All I'm saying, but they were up 17 on Cincinnati. Going into the second half, they lose by 10 by the end of the game. How does that happen?
I don't know, man.
I called it.
Yeah, I don't know, but they'll you know, hey, it's football.
Those are football games that you're supposed to close. Remember how we were talking about the Vikings? Yeah. Remember how we talked about other teams who just don't seem to know how to close out games?
The Falcons. Yeah, I'm about to say Atlanta the first. It's just week two and three.
Is there any hope for Atlanta? No, they're top 10 picks.
I think defensively they're too banged up.
They are too banged up. But still, though, I still think that they have enough offensive weapons to overcome. Just like Kansas City, but here's the thing: it's not that you have to like stop them. You can bend. You got to give up more field goals than you do touchdowns, and I think that's the Falcons' biggest problem right now. And I think that that's something, regardless of how decimated your squad is, you can scheme up. You know what I'm saying? I believe that you can scheme up.
I don't think so. Not against, with their schedule, the high power offenses they've already faced or going to face.
They've lost once to the Saints, right?
They lost to the Saints. The Bengals threw up 30 on them.
I think the only game is against Carolina, right?
But what other division game have they lost?
They haven't played.
That was it.
I think they played the Bucs this week.
So they probably got a shot at the division.
Here's the thing. I think they could be the wild card team. I think they could be a wild card team.
I don't think so. I mean,
I'm in the NFC.
I'm with Nick.
If you look at this NFC's conference, the Saints are getting it back together. So they got them. The Panthers look better than them. So that's two right there. The Rams obviously are going to be up there. You have the Bears. You have the Skins, who I think are going to win that division.
The Redskins?
Mm-hmm.
How?
Just because at that point, you can even go back to week one, but like from week one to now, I've never seen a whole division just lose. So the fact that that's the case, I think you can win this division going 8-8 or 9-7.
I think Chicago's going to fall off. Tampa's going to fall off.
Yep.
Seattle, Dallas, we already know. Detroit, come on.
Right.
Philly will be better, so they won't stay 2-3. So I think they got
a shot. I think the Bears are real. I think
Khalil Mack is real. I think the rest of the defensive pieces on that squad are real. I think Khalil elevates them.
Oh, and Washington's gonna fall off. They're 2-2. That's not gonna last. They got a shot.
But look at the Cowboys. Can you say like that's what it's not about the team. Cowboys, it's about the division. So like look at the division.
That's what I'm saying. I think
the Cowboys are not gonna do anything. I told you they were gonna win what 4 games. I said that early in the season. The Giants, they can't seem to get it together, and Odell's already coming at the team. The Eagles, Super Bowl hangover.
We need to talk about that.
So, like, look at, like, I'm only making a case based off the evidence that I've seen. Like I said, no other team, no other division since the beginning of this season has all the teams have lost. So that tells me how bad that division is. So whoever can just make something happen, 8-8, 9-7, that's going to win that division. And then the Bears, I think, are going to be real. I think the Packers still, or the Vikings can still say something. And then like at that point, the Falcons are looking like, I don't know how they can get in or even it'll be hard for the Panthers to even get in too. So I just think with everything going down, the NFC is going to be the toughest to predict.
It is, but
outside of the Rams, you really have to just guess. But,
the only teams that I really like in the NFC, the Rams, Green Bay, of course. And I think Philly's going to turn it around.
I think Green Bay might even miss the playoffs.
Nah.
Quiet as it's kept. I think Green Bay can miss the playoffs.
They might. I mean,
and New Orleans look good too. New Orleans
looks really good.
Shout out to Drew Brees for getting the all-time passing yards.
That was my hot take.
And he's in the 500 touchdown club too now. Only four people.
Tom Brady,
Brett Favre, and Peyton Manning.
Yeah. So can we dive into Drew Brees just for a little bit?
Go ahead.
Is he the most underrated QB of all time?
Yeah.
I don't know how it happened because he wasn't.
Because I think that shoulder injury.
Forget about that early part of his career.
People were saying his career was going to be over with that shoulder injury. Yep.
No. I'm talking about like after the Super Bowl when he was throwing the ball around, when he was great for fantasy, when he was up there with Peyton Manning and all of his greats.
I just think he's gotten overshadowed because he's played in an era with Peyton Manning, with Tom Brady. He hasn't won as much as Tom Brady. And also, I think that Peyton got so much respect pre-snap that it elevated him, right?
But I guess what I'm saying is that during that time, he was one of the names that people were mentioning. Then it seemed like when Peyton fell off and retired, Brees just disappeared
from
the conversation.
Yeah, he was just kind of under the radar. Mm-hmm. I feel like Brees was just kind of a given, but we didn't necessarily mention him, right? Because when he was on the up and up and having, you know, all those 5,000 passing yard seasons and this, that, and everybody's like, oh, snap, you know, Drew Brees is up there. But then kind of Peyton Manning retired, Tom Brady still winning. It's kind of like when we think about the best, I think subconsciously mention Brees, but we're thinking about all of the other new guys, Aaron Rodgers
took all the shine.
Exactly. He's definitely underrated because he's not talked about enough. But I think that everybody that watches football, we know.
And he doesn't fit the stereotypical QB. Like, he's not the 6'4", 6'5", tall guy. He's very short.
If you saw him at a bar, you would think he's just their average
Joe. That's what I'm saying. So, he don't fit the stereotypical prototype of a QB as far as looks, as far as just the looks. And it's like most GMs, the owners, don't go for a QB of his stature. You know, it's like, okay, you short, you're going to have a hard time looking over the line. But that dude still got it done.
Is there an argument to say that he is better than Peyton Manning?
Is that your take? Is that your hot take?
That's one of my hot takes.
Nah, bro.
There's a because when I
where's your evidence? Come on, I know you bringing that. Look at
the statistics he already has. So he's on the same field.
They're on
same
the same area, plateau.
Same plateau. The only reason why people could probably say because Manny's got two Super Bowl rings, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you really want to be honest, Manny didn't really earn that last one.
We agree. He managed his way to that.
Because he didn't even play half the season. And then at that point.
He was throwing knuckleballs. I could throw harder and faster.
And then people forget he was in three Super Bowls. What was that the other Super Bowl he lost to? Who? What team was that? What quarterback did he lose to?
Drew Brees.
What did Manny do in that game that Drew Brees didn't do, I don't think?
Pick six.
Threw a pick six.
And what? And there was a scouting report, I think. I don't know what.
What turned that Super Bowl around?
What?
That Super Bowl.
Are you talking about that defense?
Onside kick.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Sean Payton won that.
He won that.
That was a gutsy call. But that was a very gutsy call.
He won that, but at the same time, Manning did. He didn't do what you would think he would do to that defense based on the whole mythological, like, his like how he's known as, he can read. He can pick out defense before they even know what play is coming
true,
out.
True, but we also have to understand that if you look historically, Peyton Manning always struggled against NFC teams because he doesn't see them as often. And I'm not making an excuse. It is what it is. You make a valid argument. However, if we add context, you know, Peyton Manning always struggled against NFC teams. He didn't pick them apart as easily as he did some of his AFC rivals because he sees them more. He prepares for them more. He has a better feel for them. Like, I think we could – and I'm just throwing it out there, hyperbole. But if you look, how many times has Peyton Manning played the Saints over the course of his career? I guarantee you it was on one hand.
Not a lot.
It's the Super Bowl, though. You get 2 weeks.
You would think
with Manning for 2 weeks, you would be like, all right, he got this
but
down.
But you know, Super Bowls have historically been blowouts.
Exactly. Like they're not really close games traditionally.
Because once the teams don't see each other a lot. Yeah, exactly.
No, I understand. I understand that. And that's a valid point. I'm just saying when we're talking about, like you were saying, like he kind of gets forgotten. I'm just like, how can he when he's throwing up these numbers? Granted, he's undersized, but you can't deny what he's been doing And I guess maybe you could argue like the he has more losing seasons than Peyton did, because I think Peyton's only had two losing seasons throughout his whole career. And Breece has had, like, I think five or six. But at the same time, Manning has had so much more talent consistently around him than Breece.
Do you remember one of the points I made when you first came onto our podcast, when, like, the way your legend is born is by having moments? Who got more moments, Peyton or Drew?
All right, I'll give you that. Peyton does.
Peyton's and Peyton's had to go toe-to-toe.
But Drew's coming up.
No.
Has Peyton had to face a Brady for the most part of his career?
Nah.
Manning has had to go against Brady, like, toe-to-toe, neck-to-neck.
I can't even make the Super Bowl.
Right.
It's kind of like
I had to go through you in order to have a chance.
He didn't have a Brady in this conference.
And I think that when you look at Tom Brady and Peyton Manning, even Aaron Rodgers, right? Out of those four quarterbacks, the three I mentioned plus Drew Brees, who's had more moments? I can argue that those three guys have had more moments in crucial situations than Drew Brees has. And that's not disparaging Drew Brees because the argument of putting him up there as the greatest is extremely valid. The man has won. The man has probably going to have every record, you know, and it's going to stand for a little while. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think Tom Brady's going to be able to catch him. Aaron Rodgers, maybe. I think, and then we have to look at the young guys after that, because nobody that has played and is in like the 40,000-50,000 range, they're not going to throw another 25,000-30,000. So we got to look at guys like Mahomes and the Deshaun Watsons, because they're playing in this past happy era and they're playing, you know, a lot, you know, and they're throwing
it's
more.
It's the three-point era.
It is.
Yeah.
You know, so I think Drew Brees is going to have a lot of those records, so the argument is extremely valid.
But aren't they just now catching Manning's records?
Yeah, but Manning came in the league before he did.
Yeah.
How many years?
It was
3 years. Because they showed a picture of Drew Brees still in
college at Purdue.
And
Manning's third season.
Manning's third season in the NFL. So he was actually, by the time Drew Brees came in, that means that Manning was either in his fourth or fifth season. So he's had 4 or 5 years on him. And then if you look at, you know, how long has Peyton been gone from the game? Like 4 to 6 years.
Well, he said 1,000 days since that record was made. So
like 3 years.
Whatever that time
frame. Like 3.5 years.
Yeah.
Wow. So he's actually gotten it faster than Peyton.
They're equal.
And you know, so I just think that Breeze is forgotten because he doesn't have as many moments as the other guys. But again, that's not to discredit you, Breeze. It's just these other guys have been in bigger moments more often.
And he's a legend, man. Like,
he is.
The Saints. Like, I don't know if you remember,
but
that
was
the Saints.
The Aints, and that's my other point, was the fact that, like, you could look at the Colts, and they've had decent teams.
Oh, they were terrible before Manning got there.
Who am I thinking of? Unitas?
Way back
in the day. That don't count, bro. when I was in, you know, I'm much older than you, but trust me, when I was in high school.
I'm just saying, throughout their course of history, they've had quarterbacks who you can mention. When you talk about the Saints, it's just Archie and I don't know who else. And Archie was obviously garbage, not because of him, but because of the team. So he, you know what I'm saying, he was lucky. God bless him. Like, all right, you're going to have a horrible career. We're gonna let your two sons get all these rings. But with Breeze, it's like he is this, like, you can't really think of another time. Like, he's the Brady of the Saints. Like, he is – he's that their dynasty, even though they only won one. But he is like that era will always be remembered.
He gave them the only one.
The only one, and you only need one. He's like LeBron with the Cavs. You only need one for everybody to say his statue is going to be built as soon as he retires.
Yeah. No, he's great, man. And, you know, it's good to see him get this love because I think he deserved it because he's always showed up to work. But I think he likes it this way.
Yeah,
from what I've been hearing.
Yeah, you know. You know, he's a grinder. But you know, it's so interesting that you make the point, Nick, that, you know, Drew Brees should stay. He's gonna have this statue outside of the city, and Drew Brees has gone through a lot of different rosters where it was very talent deprived.
He made he made a lot of receivers.
He made Colston.
Yeah, he's right. Drew Brees is in that conversation that I always say that it doesn't matter what you put around him.
Yes.
He elevates guys. Right?
Jimmy Graham.
That's what I was going to ask, too. Like, what happened to Jimmy Graham?
Yeah, he's with the Packers
now. Since he left.
Yeah, but he ain't been the same.
He ain't been the same.
He's not the same. But, you know, everything that we talk about, that you're talking about positive in terms of Drew Brees, you talk negatively about Aaron Rodgers.
And I've only and my main point, I told you, my main point, because I said the worst thing that Aaron Rodgers did this season, or probably for his career, was re-sign with the Packers. Because they have shown throughout his career they were not supporting with talent. The Saints have shown Brees, we can support you with talent.
1 year, 2 year, then 3 years, no talent.
No. There was a few years with no talent, but he's gotten back. Like, they've slowly but surely have been drafting players that have shown potential and that popped off. You got Michael Thomas, you got Kamar, you got Mark Ingram, you have some of the corners, Lattimore. Like, they've drafted well within the last 3-4 years. Losing. You can't say the same thing about the Pat. That's what I'm saying. Like, Brees could have, like, your point is valid if they didn't already show, like, okay, we can get you some guys.
How are you penalizing him for signing him back with Green Bay?
Think about if he was on the open market. We talk about quarterbacks. Look at what Kirk Cousins got on the open market. You don't think Aaron Rodgers could generate guaranteed contracts, $200 million?
All about that, but, bro.
Exactly.
He could have went to the Giants. No, they could have kicked Eli out.
But the same way that you're talking about the day that Drew Brees retires, they're going to start building that statue outside of there. It's the same thing for Aaron Rodgers.
Brett Favre.
Who's going to get the statue first? Brett Favre or Brees? I mean, over Rodgers.
I think it's going to be Rodgers.
Yeah.
I think they'll give it to Favre first.
You know why? And here's the thing. Favre held a lot of grudges, and I would say, this is just outside looking in because I'm not a cheesehead, but I think that a lot of Packer Nation felt a certain type of way, first of all, by him playing in Minnesota, number one, a division rival, and then just leaving in the way that he did it. And also, let's not forget, he didn't want no parts of Aaron Rodgers when Aaron Rodgers was drafted.
Who does, though?
But hold on.
Brady did the same thing to Garoppolo. Nobody wants to see somebody. You don't want to groom somebody to take your job.
He did it with class, though.
Exactly. Oh, he went to his daddy. That's he went upstairs to his daddy and said, "Get this little kid out of here."
But at the end of the day, Ken is 1,000% right. Even if I don't want no parts of you, there's a way to handle it. And Brett Favre did not handle it the way that a Packer should have.
He
could have been political when people were asking him, "Oh, so are you teaching Aaron Rodgers anything?"
He had the light bulb.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. Like, we have, it's a precedent. Like, we've seen quarterbacks who have these great stats, who have a legacy with the franchise, and when they try to bring up that youngin, they already know how it's going to end, and they try to make sure that end is far from reach.
I think Joe Montana was the same way with Steve Young.
They had to force you out.
Well, Montana got hurt, and then they was like, that gave them their excuse.
They gave them
the
excuse to get him out. Yeah, they were like,
cool. Yeah, they got him out of there. So, all right, two more things, unless y'all got something. So, we'll get to the Eagles in a second. But last weekend was a lot about fourth down calls.
Yep, and we talked about that.
I know we did.
And I think that everybody, they either underreact or overreact based off of the result. Mm-hmm. However, you have to gauge that the temperature of the game, and sometimes you got to go for it. You know what I'm saying? Because it's a culture thing.
Does Garrett go for it if the Colts were not heavily criticized? If Frank Reich wasn't heavily criticized the week before?
No, Garrett is, he's a puppet. He's not going for it at all. When have you ever seen Garrett make a gutsy call?
Exactly.
I agree with that, but it's not
because he's a puppet. I don't think he's aggressive at all. And I think Sean Garrett, in this era of football, you got to be more aggressive than not.
So you criticize, and
I criticize Garrett for not going for it. Because you have Zeke Elliott, and it's a one. Remember the same thing I said. I'm consistent. I said the reason why I'm consistent. Listen, because what did I say about the Colts? It was fourth and long. It wasn't close. And then they don't have a running back. So
they have Andrew Luck.
But it's fourth and over five.
Fourth and one is.
It's not the same in fourth and five or fourth.
Fourth and
play.
One for Zeke is equivalent to fourth and four for Andrew Luck.
Exactly. Yeah. For any elite quarterback,
yes, is,
fourth
bro.
And five or fourth and six.
Fourth and one for Zeke with that offensive line, even though it's still banged up, it's 3-2 for Zeke. Because he averages what, like 5 yards a carry?
But hold on. Okay, I agree there. However, look at the point that me and Ken are trying to, you know, just smack you with real quick, because when you have an elite quarterback, Andrew Luck is elite. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying he's upper tier where he elevates everybody, but he's elite. He's top five, top seven when healthy. Top five, top seven.
He's not top five.
He's top five, top seven.
He's not top
when
five.
Healthy. However, when you had, and he was hot that game.
Yeah, he was.
He
hot.
Had, what, 40 completions.
He had, but you said last 62, week.
It was, just it was a bad throw. If it was a good throw, they would have converted.
If he had a better running back, he would have had a much better option.
But at the end of the day, the call, right? And I told you it was about a culture thing. Again, all of those Colts players were behind the call because it showed that mm-hmm. we are going to be aggressive, even when we're not that great. But you know mm-hmm. what? We can buy into that mindset. So again, they may have lost that war, or they may have lost the fight, but the war, that psychological war that you have to have, that you have to overcome to be able to build what you want in the future, because it's not about this year. It's about year 2, 3, 4, 5. How do you get those guys to buy in? That call was the right call, and that's how you do it. Because when you look at Jason Garrett this week and those guys, did you see them on the sideline? Their face when they were punting that ball away?
Because
there was no buy-in.
Yeah, it was a boneheaded punt, because you were right. Like, if you lose that for, like, let's say they stop you, that's still basically like essentially like a punt because of the field position. My thing is, you have one of the top three backs in the league, and it's 4th-and-1, and you have even with the banged up offensive line, you still should get Dak could do a QB sneak for all I give a damn. You still have a good enough line to get you there. But with the Colts, we can't say the same. And it's 4th-and-long.
But you see what you're talking about, right? Like you're even alluding to culture, because you have mm-hmm. a certain roster, right? Like, there's always a play or a game in every football season for every single team that either gets you in the right direction or puts you back down. And this moment right here could have been a moment that would have got the Cowboys in the right direction. But that's culture. Even if they wouldn't have made it, but they would have went for it. Do you know that Dak, Zeke, that whole team is like, you know what? Garrett got some balls, man.
Yeah, we're trying to win football games.
Exactly. But because you don't go for it, what that tells your team is, you know, we just might not be good enough. You know what? Let's pack it up. Let's play for a tie. Or you know what? I trust this spotty defense to do something. When you have, right, because that collective group of that O-line has the biggest cap hold on that squad.
They had options. They had Zeke. You just said they had Dak. You know, unlike Penn State, you know, you know, they have different options they can go to. So they could have went to the quarterback or Zeke. Same thing in Indy. They had one option, but it was the best option, Andrew mm-hmm. Luck. And the only thing they just didn't execute. So if he would have went for it and didn't execute, would you have said that was and ended up losing the game anyway?
No,
would that
because
still
you
have been a bad call?
No, because we bring up context a lot when we talk about these fourth down plays to whether to go for it or not to. It's all about context. It's all about field position. Where, like, how are you doing that game? What's the worst case scenario? And for me, like I brought up, you have Zeke, and either if you don't get it,
of that game, right? They lost the game in OT.
Yes.
So Houston eventually ended up going
But that was
down
not because of, that was not because
know,
of that fourth down, though.
I know, but DeAndre Hopkins made a great play.
Exactly.
But say, for instance, they went for it and didn't get it, I think it was probably easy to nearly predict that they will probably end up winning.
Well,
that
the
game,
reason why I brought up the fact that he's a puppet is because what incentive does Garrett have to be a good coach? He's been 8-8 or worse.
But what is Jerry Jones saying about that play?
Jerry Jones gonna say whatever he wants to, but he ain't gonna do nothing to Garrett because he knows that he can control him. I guarantee you.
He's criticizing Garrett for that.
Yeah, he is.
Garrett,
because
he can't justify why he's there, but he's not gonna let him go because no other coach wants to be in that position.
Garrett wanted him to go for it, and Jones wanted him to go for it, and Garrett had to go to the office.
Everybody wanted him to go for it, but just because he didn't doesn't mean he's in trouble. I honestly think
but the reason why he didn't shows what? The mentality of that locker room and that organization under the helm of Jason Garrett.
I agree.
And that's why it's a problem. And that's why not going for it for the Cowboys and going for it for the Colts the week
Let's
prior.
Let's add on another one. The Rams.
Mm-hmm.
Fourth and one.
Exactly.
Wait, fourth and one, right?
Yep.
QB sneak with
exactly.
Goff.
But what does again,
context.
But it's not the result. It's not the result. It's context. The mentality right. of going for it.
Yeah, that's what no, we're saying.
But,
it's like,
but so you're saying go for it on fourth down every time?
No, I'm saying
why do you say no?
Because not every fourth down is built the same. However,
that's all I'm saying.
No. But what you're saying is the Colts shouldn't have gone for it. And Ken, give them the context again behind what the down and distance was and where they were.
Yeah, fourth and six. I think they were on what their 40-yard line or something like that.
With how many seconds left?
27 seconds left.
And if you punt the ball,
you get a
you
tie.
Don't get the
you
ball
get a tie.
But
you get a tie.
But what? What? Whoa! You got
it's
me
not
really.
About, the time, it's about trying to win the game.
It's about not getting lost.
No. How you?
It's all about winning games.
No. It's about winning games if you're in a position to win. At that point, you're trying. At that point, the situation is already laid out. You just said it's less than 30 seconds on the clock. If we don't get this down, it's a guaranteed loss, right?
Wait, hold on. What if you punt the ball and there's a punt return touchdown?
That's a lot of ifs, and we ain't got no fifths on the table. My thing is, what's more likely to happen? You're going on fourth down and not getting it and losing the game, or you punting the ball and getting a tie?
But my whole thing is all about mentality, culture, trying to win the game.
No, if you're in a position to win. The Dallas Cowboys were in a position to win. They were fourth and one with the best back and a top five offensive line.
He's not the best back.
One of the best backs.
I can't say the Colts were not in a position to where they could have got
exactly.
They weren't in a position to win.
Won a game with a 60-yard field goal. I think it was the Carolina Panthers.
Okay, but Carolina's obviously a different type of cut from a different cloth.
No, that's not the point.
Exactly. The point is that you could possibly put yourself into a position to kick a long field goal and try to win the game.
The point is context, and the context that we're trying to make you understand is that by going for it, you get give your team an opportunity to win that game and not go for the tie. Because if you get that first down, right? Because you already know he went for an out route. Mm-hmm. You catch the ball, you go out of bounds. What you lose? 4 seconds, right? So you're at 20 some seconds at the middle of the field. You literally need between 15 to 20 yards to guarantee a field goal.
And I think they still had a timeout low.
You go for that, Nick.
You don't go for it. With that roster, with that team,
you go with Andrew Luck.
But the point is that we've had three fourth down situations, and one went for it, it didn't work out, but at least he tried to win the game. The other didn't go for it, and he still ended up losing the game. One went for it to put the game
away.
And I
break that down with the Colts. They went for it unnecessarily, and it cost them the game. With the Cowboys, Jason Garrett has no incentive to be a good coach. Jerry Jones has been dealing with that mediocrity to below talent level for years when it comes to a coaching decision. So he's not going to do anything that is going to jeopardize – well, not even going to do anything to galvanize or help his team win, because he knows his job is safe for however long Jerry Jones wants to pay him, which would be a long time. And the three with the Rams, they were 4-0 going to the game or 5-0 going to the game, and they had nothing to lose. They're the hottest team in the NFL right now. Right now, they don't know how to lose. They just don't know.
Was trying to win a football game.
They don't know how to lose because they haven't lost yet. Every team is you're gutsy when you haven't lost or there's nothing. Everything you've been doing is working.
It wasn't gutsy. He was trying to win a football game.
No, but everything they've been doing is working. Am I not right? Every play that he set up for them to produce. My main point is all about context. Every fourth, you mentioned it. The reason why you don't go for it every time on fourth down is why? Because of the context of the game, the situation. That's all I'm saying. Everything I've said has been consistent as far as why I said Garrett should have went for it and why Frank shouldn't have. Because of the context of the situation. You don't go for a fourth and long with the Colts team. Because not only did
you
not
Andrew Luck, I don't understand.
You talked about Andrew Luck like
it's not Andy Dalton. It's not Ryan Tannehill. It's Andy Luck.
Dalton playing better than Andrew Luck right now.
Andy Dalton went. They had to go for it on four. Well, they had to.
Yeah, they had to. That's the context of the game.
But either no, I just it's
and he has better players than Andrew Luck.
It's the mentality and trying
we
to win.
We talk about mentality,
games.
But at the end of the day, coaches get fired off of losses. They don't get fired because
Frank
of mentality.
Frank Reich just got there.
Exactly.
And
he's not going to – if he – with if they keep losing games the way he's in the division, he's going to be gone by 2 years.
Outside of the Browns, who fires a coach the first year that they hire?
I didn't say he was going to get fired this year. I'm saying if he continues to do – they're going to give him a couple years.
Okay.
Yeah, a couple years.
What did he say about him? What did he say about him?
That's all you need. No, no. First of all, Nick, Mr. Disrespect, you are saying that Frank is going to get a couple of years, yes or no?
Yes.
Right? Those exact words came out of your mouth, yes. Right? So how, in the first year, going for it on that fourth down establishes a culture? Because you just – wait, hold on. You just admitted that you didn't admit last week that he isn't going to go anywhere this year, right?
No.
So you have to have moral – mental victories are more important in the first year than actual W's.
That's what you're saying. What I said, the reason why I said my main point was for him, the reason why that was bad for him is like at this point you're trying to establish yourself as a first year head coach. And you're saying culture is the more important thing. My thing is I've always said it. I said, what do you do in your division? You should always start with the division first. So if you're competitive in your division, before you get to the outside people, you're competitive in your division, that shows me something. When you lose games to teams who are not that good, because Houston, even though they won the last two games, they've both been on some fluke overtime stuff. When you win a when you're not competitive in your division and you lose games that you probably could have won or at least could have prevented from losing, then that makes you as a GM look at this coach like, okay, his second year he has to show me something because this first year he's giving up games.
Let me ask you,
he didn't have to give up.
What winning that game does for the Colts this season?
It gives you, first of all, it helps you in division and it gives you hope. It gives confidence for Andrew Luck. It gives confidence for Andrew Luck that he's coming off an injury still, so we're still giving him a lot. The media and all, they're still giving him slack. You know, that's their golden boy. So they're giving him a lot of slack this year. So Andrew Luck can
not seen the last two games?
I'm not saying he's looking bad, but I'm saying nonetheless, nobody's expecting anything out of Andrew Luck this year. So they're giving him slack. I'm saying with that being said, the more games he wins this year or more games that he is looks like the quarterback that you drafted him to be, that's better on the head coach, especially a young head coach who's in his first.
I think that's better on Andrew Luck.
I think it goes hot 10 because that's what FIFO's point was. The whole point is like getting a coach, an offensive-minded coach, to get that repertoire with the quarterback. If you have them both, they stay together a long time, like Brady and Belichick, like Sean Payton and Drew Brees, and like Sean McVay with Jared Goff. That's what it's
exactly. And the head coach and quarterback got to get on the same page. And by going for it on that fourth down the week prior, that builds that confidence between the two that Andrew Luck understands. If we have an opportunity, we're going to go for it, right? And in the future, what does that mean for their relationship? Andrew Luck can look at them, give them a head nod, and they already know what they're about to do. Because when you look at Sean Payton and Drew Brees, they have that type of relationship. All of the top quarterbacks, the majority, I'm not going to say all of them, but the majority of the top quarterbacks that have a head coach that's on their same level, they built that repertoire. That game, win or loss, the play, the fact that Frank called to go for it, that right there is more important than the win or the loss long term. Because you just said it, the first year, they're not going to let him go. And the Colts have been talent deprived since they drafted Andrew Luck. So this year, it's not about wins and losses. It's not about the division. That team, that organization cannot be looking at the division talking about we can be the second best team. Because first of all, when you are competing, you're not talking about being the second best team. You're talking about being the best team. You're talking about conquering that division. And I don't care whether you're a Colts fan or not, you can look at that roster and be like, we are the worst team. It does not matter about wins and losses. Matter of fact, I can make an argument that it's better for them to lose more games so that way they can get more talent.
Where did they draft this year? They were what? Top five draft pick this year?
I don't remember.
Even know who they picked.
They picked the offensive lineman. You talk about being the second best team in the division isn't good. If you were a top five pick, meaning you were probably the worst team in the NFL period. So definitely you were the end of your division. And you're saying if you go from the worst of the division to second best, that's not good enough?
What I'm saying is that you cannot do that.
is that, but we're looking at, we're looking for positive progression. Are we not?
I understand.
You're talking about it from a cultural standpoint. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about it from the basic standpoint of wins and losses.
But what I'm saying is that roster cannot get you to a second. It can't.
If he's a top five elite quarterback when healthy, you're putting him in the class of Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Drew Brees, mm-hmm. Ben Roethlisberger. Mm-hmm. They all, like you, the way you're talking about him mm-hmm. is like he can elevate talent. Or can he or can he not? If he can't, then he's not top five.
Well, here's the thing.
He can and he has.
Okay, so then he should be able to win those games. He was not in a position to win that game.
Yes, he was. No, he just was made not a bad throw.
Because it was fourth and five. It was fourth and long. You were asking him to make a pass to not even get the first down, not even to put you in a field goal position or anything, just to get you the first down so you can have another down to see what else you can do with less than 30 seconds on the clock. That doesn't help. That's not a quarterback position. That's not a position that he needs to be coming off an injury this year.
You make it sound like he got sacked. Or he threw the ball out of bounds.
He threw a horrible pass because I know he's coming off an injury, so I'm not going to expect him to do too much.
He threw 60-something pass attempts in that game.
All the more reason to say that his arm is tired. He's coming off of a shoulder injury. Why are you making him throw that much? Why is he required to throw that much? Because the team is bad, right? So why am I expecting the team to be good in crunch time? It doesn't make – to me, it doesn't make sense.
But you know what?
It's,
yeah, we're relitigating that game, but I think the overall point – I just thought it was interesting that we spent some time last week debating that fourth down call, and we had two more fourth down calls. One worked, one didn't. And, you know, it just – I think for me just speaks to the mentality of, as a coach, what's your objective? And you're trying to win the game. You make calls, and you have to live with the results. And both of them made calls, and three coaches made a call, and they have to live the results.
Yes.
And, you know – for one, it worked, and we can say that it's working. Everything's coming up roses for the Rams. Fine, that's what happens. But I think the fact that you were willing to take that chance speaks volumes to
me. It's easier to make a fourth down call with the Rams than as a coach.
I think it's easier to make it if you're a coach, period, if you're trying to win football
games.
I
disagree. Yep.
You know, so yep. Eagles.
We got to talk about OBJ.
Okay,
we can talk. Yeah, stay in the division then.
Yeah, let's talk about OBJ because I feel that he got a lot of unnecessary flack for his comments. And I think the one media pundit that had it 100% correct.
What was his exact comments again?
Well, go ahead.
He basically said that, you know, and I'm paraphrasing here, that can Eli still throw? Yeah, but he's not going to get out of the pocket. He said he would like to go over the top. It's pretty cool trying to catch a slant and take it to the house, but he wants to go over the top. And prior to that game, he had not been targeted beyond 35 yards the entire season. Obviously, he has the six most targets going into that game, but none over 35 yards. And he was the only person in the top 10 list to not be targeted beyond 35 yards. So that's a problem, right? And it goes back to what I was saying. At draft time, you got to go get you a
QB
because Eli is done.
Right. I agree. However, Saquon has been living up to that number two.
And how many wins on the board?
We never denied.
We knew Saquon was going to be the guy.
Yeah. Okay.
But it's just.
In this position, you have to get a QB because you know Eli is literally on his last
Did y'all watch that game at all or like in the fourth quarter at all?
I saw highlights.
So Eli, I watched that game, especially during the second half.
What Eli do?
Eli actually put them in a position to win that game. The defense, like, made horrible plays.
It was the defense
that lost the game. They made a lot of – they had a lot of flags on them that got Cam all the way up to that point. And then, obviously, the kicker sealed the deal, even though that was a miraculous kick from the kicker. So, shout out to him. However, Eli put them in a position to win. I agree with – him getting bashed unnecessarily. Mm-hmm. However, at the same time, if you're having a losing record, and no matter what the offense has been doing, you still have losses. Does making those comments publicly? That's my only issue. Publicly, does that make sense to come at your quarterback?
Well, first of all,
because you know how the media is going to take it.
But first of all, he doesn't control the questions that are asked. He can only reply to the questions that are asked. And what he did was, and again, I think Colin said it the best. Sometimes in a family, right? Like the locker room is a family. These are grown ass men that they see themselves more than they see, you know, their family. And this is the only sport that you practice six times more than what you play. right? So sometimes you're the smart guy in the room, the family member that has it all together, has to address the elephant in the room. And
he has it all together?
No.
OBJ?
No. But OBJ, yeah. OBJ is the leader of that squad. Right, OBJ is the one guy in the NFL, well, on the Giants roster. Regardless of what he says, you're not going to cut him. He has that type of clout now.
Once they paid him,
exactly. Once they paid him,
because he got that big contract.
Yes, he's the highest paid wide receiver ever.
But
guess what that comes with? It comes with opinions. When you are the greatest, or considered the greatest, or the highest paid, you get perks that come with that. And right now, all OBJ did was address the elephant in the room. And the elephant in the room is that Eli has not played that great. Eli has not targeted his number one target beyond 35 yards. And what happened once he addressed it? Eli played better.
Yeah.
Why?
And that's what he said. He said it brought us together. We played better.
We don't know if that was the offensive scheme already going into that game plan or his comments. He's taking credit for it, which as he should, because he's the one who brought it to light. My thing is, it's not an elephant in the room. It's an elephant that's been running down these streets all damn day. Everybody and their mama knew Eli, but coming into the season, is not the quarterback for the Giants. That's why y'all been saying since before draft day, they need to draft a quarterback. They don't need any other position. So him saying those comments is not something surprising to anybody.
Everybody knew it except the Giants.
What's surprising is you're saying this publicly when you need to keep this in the locker room.
You need to keep this in the locker room.
What did he say that was so wrong?
He didn't say anything wrong. The wrong thing is he's calling out his teammates.
But when he's acting like he's pitch perfect, there's nothing about his game that's wrong.
How did he call out his teammate?
Because he just said it without saying. He said, going for these little dink and dunk passes is cool, but I need to go over the top. He's basically calling out his quarterback saying, you need to play better. But
he's also talking to the head coach. Mm-hmm. He's also talking to the offensive coordinator. He's also talking about
they got to call plays too.
So that's the team.
So that's even worse.
Wait, hold on. That's even better, because look, as a captain, as a leader on the squad, sometimes some things that I address is public. I mean, private, but sometimes it has to be public.
When you think about the leaders in the NFL. Does Odell Beckham Jr.'s name come up?
No, but he is the mouthpiece of that New York Giants team.
But not because of something good. It's because he's always saying something I'm a Giants fan. From a fan's perspective, I love OBJ. But when you're thinking about it from, I'm a hood nigga, so I'm going to say it from an analytical spot. So this is just some hood stuff that I've been thinking about. Mm-hmm. When you calling out somebody like that in public, when it's some stuff that we should be talking about, because, you know, we just talked about being a professional.
Mm-hmm.
Being a professional means that no matter what's going on, we've seen plenty of great players been on bad teams and they still kept it professional. And then you come out later where they was like, we actually addressed this in the locker room. I actually had a lot of things to say. I just didn't bring it to the media. Why are you bringing it to the media?
Look, I'm going
to
tell you like this.
What does telling us mean anything?
It's the two D's, discretion and discernment. As a leader, you are tasked with trying to figure out sometimes when things should go public and certain things should stay private. And I think what OBJ said, there was nothing wrong with it. And I could tell you from a perspective of being a leader on a basketball team, right? Like, I'm a point guard, naturally. B, have I ever called you out in front of the team?
No. You never call me out.
Okay, look, it just blew up in your face.
but it's not like me and B have played like high school ball. It's not like we play like in a whole bunch of leagues, right?
Right.
We primarily play out here street ball. However, I have had to call out a lot of people. And sometimes I'd be like, hey, B, come here. Let me holler at you. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes I have to do it in front of the team and blow up, because sometimes you just got to be able to get your point across. Has LeBron not publicly and privately
top heavy as fuck?
Yep. What does that mean? What the hell does that mean? And then what did they do subsequently?
They made some trades.
Traded everybody.
What did the Giants do? They went over the top. Eli,
exactly.
And Odell didn't say Eli can't throw over the top.
He said he can still throw.
He said, but he was coming at his quarterback play. That's all it was. He was coming at the quarterback play. You mentioned offensive schemes.
What's wrong with calling people out to do your job? Because hold on. Wide receiver is a dependent position, bro. I can't throw that ball over the top to myself. I need you to throw the ball to me, and you not doing it. Why?
I agree. I'm not saying what he said was wrong, was inaccurate, or what he said didn't have merit. All I'm saying is keep that in the locker room. You could say if he said all that in the locker room, I'm fine with it. If anything, I encourage that. Mm-hmm. But when you bring it publicly, you're bringing the media into it. On top of that, he knows who he is. But he knows he is one of the faces of the NFL as a wide receiver, which is very rare to say. He's top three, one of the most recognizable people in the NFL.
Who he's calling now is a two-time Super Bowl winning quarterback, correct?
Okay.
But wait, hold on. And Eli is not one of these quarterbacks that has great seasons and then turns it up. Eli's one of these guys that when the pressure is at its highest is when he performs the best, right? So is this not putting Eli in a pressure cooker right now?
And again, that's why I brought up the whole point of how that game went the second half. Was Eli the reason why they lost that game? No.
No.
Hold on.
But can we argue to say OBJ is the reason why Eli stepped up his game this game?
By the comments? Throw a touchdown.
You could say that.
Okay, right, because sometimes you got to know how you can address certain people. Certain people you got to talk privately only, and some people you can make public comments to, and guess what that's going to do?
Eli ain't one of those people, though.
What do you mean?
To call out publicly?
Every time that Eli has been called out publicly, he comes back and he balls because he's the type of player that needs pressure on his shoulders to perform. He's been like that ever since Ole Miss.
I'm just saying, from the media calling him out, but in the locker room
they don't listen to the media like that. But that
Super Bowl that they won in 2012, the media was saying we don't know about Eli Manning, he ain't really that good. And then that's when that whole you can't spell elite without Eli campaign came out, and that's when they won that whole Super Bowl run. So when he's been called out publicly outside of
they've been calling him out for a lot.
But my thing is if you've been following the Giants, last year they had locker room issues. That was another part of the reason why they had a horrible season. And now you're kind of bringing that in.
No, the coach wasn't good.
I said one of the reasons they had a horrible season.
That was the main reason.
It was the coach and the fact that they had issues with Eli Apple. They didn't know what Odell Beckham was going to do, and then he got hurt, so they didn't know what it's going to be like for their future. So now going into 2018, they were like, okay, we're more optimistic. We got the locker room back together. Now they've been on a losing streak. Now what do they always say about someone's character? Your character, you are who you are based on not the best of times, but the worst of times. And we're seeing Odell talk about his team publicly during the worst part of their season.
I don't think he said anything wrong. I don't think he called out Eli.
When Big Ben does this, we come at him or criticize him because he needs to play better. But and then he don't need to call on nobody. He needs to focus on himself. But when we look at Odell, it's been the last couple years. Nonetheless, why are we looking at Odell differently? Is he doing everything he needs to do to make sure this thing? And I'm talking about just on the field. I'm talking about leadership look at how he's affecting. Look at Shepard. Shepard threw a temper tantrum on the sidelines when they lost.
Are we blaming Eli for that?
No, I'm blaming. I'm saying.
I mean, Odell. For
I'm
that?
Saying Odell because he is the best player on that team. He is, regardless if he wants to be a leader or not, he has to lead by example. You're a professional athlete. When you have professional in front of your name, that means you have to act accordingly.
But all he said was that.
I don't disagree with what he said. I just don't like how he said it. He said it in the public forum, meaning he's bringing added scrutiny onto the team that doesn't need it.
You're already in would you say that they're underperforming offensively? Yes or no? So then how do you not need somebody calling you out to say, hey, bro, I need you on your A game?
I think he was calling the coach out. If you want to say he was calling somebody out, it probably was the coach.
And my point is, did they lose that game because of offense? No, they did not.
Okay, so then that means that you are actually giving credit to the point because you just said right now, I asked you, has that offense been underperforming? Yes or no? You said yes, and then they performed this game.
Last time they scored 30 points, Nick?
It's been like almost 2 years, I think.
When did they score 30 points? Before or after Odell?
After those comments, granted. But I'm not talking about the game. I'm talking about the season.
You keep bringing the game up.
I bring up the game because they performed. But those comments are gonna last the whole season.
No, they're not. It's
they
over.
Already they're a nah. New York they're a New York team. They already nah. get the
it's
hype.
Done. It's over.
It's over.
You're saying this is done?
Yes.
We're yeah. not hear about this again.
No.
Did you hear what Pat Sherman said?
I heard what Pat he had a temper tantrum.
Finito.
On
and Eli said the same thing. It's finito.
No, Eli is a constant professional. Say what you want about his gameplay. He will always be professional.
If them boys next week they go out there and they score 14, 17 points. And then the week after that, they score another 18, 19 points.
Let's see.
It's going to be a problem.
Let's see.
But again, that just means that OBJ and whoever else has any issues about what's happening with the Giants are just vindicated. Because at the end of the day, Eli has to step up. And I understand that the O-line is bad. We all knew that going into the season. We know that the defense isn't the best, that they have holes. We knew that going into the season. But we also knew that they had weapons, which is the reason why they drafted Saquon Barkley, right? Yeah. Because you draft Saquon where you drafted him because you believe offensively you can overcome, yes or no, yeah. right? That's the reason why you draft the guy. Yeah. So if you are underperforming, the leader of the offense, which now is OBJ, so yep. because he is the highest paid, mm-hmm. because arguably being the best wide receiver on the planet right yep. now, you know what I'm saying? And the face of that franchise, mm-hmm. he has to say what he said.
I guarantee you, every loss they have from now moving forward, they'll bring up those comments.
No, I doubt it.
I guarantee you. I guarantee you. I know how the New York media treats the Giants.
Yeah.
How they treat Odell.
Well, he's a part of the Giants.
They better love him.
They scrutinize everything he does and everything he says. Even if anytime he uses the restroom, there's a headline about it. So the fact that he made these comments, he called out his team. Granted, they've gotten better on offense as of last week. So hopefully, moving forward, they'll get better. But every loss they have, they bring up those comments.
What if they start winning? You think it's going?
If they start winning, then obviously winning cures everything.
That's gonna look like a different thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, oh, Odell Beckham's called
but
it out.
But any loss they have, that's my thing. Like, do you expect them if they're already 1-4? Do you expect them to be win 11 games straight?
No, I mean, what if they be 6-4 in these next 5 weeks or something like that?
I don't see that defense is. That's an issue.
That's your squad, ain't it?
That's the end. This is my second squad.
Y'all just got rid of that tackle. I see.
They said they were trying to make a trade for him, or they were going to waive him. Obviously, nobody wants him either. I had to
check something. Anyway, Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's a Super Bowl hangover. I
so
know
we're
that's
not going to talk basketball. We're going to do it next.
We
week.
We are. We got it.
No, we're going to talk basketball.
I know it's a buzzword, but
it's the hangover.
It's not a hangover. That,
hangover part two.
I think it's
you
just
think
Carson.
So? Because are they injured? Like, because I was thinking that too. I'm like, are they hungover?
They lost to Jay Ajayi. He's out.
He just got lost. He called out his team.
For the year?
ACL, I think.
Oh, yeah. He's done.
I think it's the loss of Frank Reich. I think people mm-hmm. are overlooking
Big time.
That.
It's like Kyle Shanahan when he left with the Falcons.
Yeah, and they lost another, I think, a quarterback's coach.
Oh, so they lost some key pieces.
Yeah.
Okay.
Behind the scenes.
So it's no hangover then.
Yeah.
Okay.
Carson Wentz just coming back. Yeah.
Well, Wentz.
It's a lot of moving pieces.
Yeah. Yeah, but I think they'll be fine. Carson, like, the offense doesn't look great right now. Again, Kyle Shanahan leaving Atlanta. And we've seen this happen before. Mm-hmm. So based on what I've seen, the offensive line hasn't been great. Running back game has been non-existent. So I think they're still trying to figure some things out.
They just look and obviously offense in the NFL is all about a rhythm. Mm-hmm. You know, catching the defense, maybe in the personnel package that you want. They just don't seem like they're clicking on all cylinders all the time. You know, because they do have spurts where it's like, okay, that's the Eagles we remember. And then, you know, they kind of falter a little bit. You know, Carson Wentz isn't as crisp as he was last year. But again, he's coming back from an ACL. You know what I'm saying? That takes a little bit of time. Just like Andrew Luck, right? Like you mentioned it earlier, Ken, where he just now looks like the guy. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Where the first couple of weeks, we're like, oh, we don't know, but let's give him a little bit of time. And now he looks like the guy that he was drafting. I think Carson Wentz will get that. I don't think that the Eagles are as good as last year. I'll go as far as to say that. But I just think offensively, they're just not in rhythm. And I think they'll catch a rhythm, going forward. And I think that they're going to win that division. When you look at top to bottom the roster, there's no way that they should lose that division.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I think they win the division. I think the Redskins are the second best team in that division.
Really?
Yeah.
I agree.
I think they're better than than the Cowboys
and
the Giants.
Yeah, I guess by default.
So I definitely think they're the second best team. However, I think that the Redskins will lose in the playoffs if they make the wild card because they don't take shots downfield, and that's Alex Smith's biggest knock all the time.
They don't really have the receivers to take shots down the field, though.
That too, but even if they did, like the Kansas City Chiefs did last year. And Alex Smith, he's just not a downfield thrower. And I don't think that in this NFL you can win. So if you got the perfect team, yes, you could win with Alex Smith. I think he's good enough to win a Super Bowl.
Yes, San Francisco.
But if he's your focal point offensively, you can't win.
And also, let's remember that Alshon Jeffrey was hurt start the season, so.
Yeah, he's just not getting back.
Yeah.
So, again, that goes back to the rhythm thing for
my thing is, the reason why I call it a Super Bowl hangover textbook is because after every Super Bowl, you're always losing players and coaches. No matter what Super Bowl team you're talking about next year, they always lose some coach and some players. And then they try to, get some free agents and stuff to come over. Since you're the Super Bowl team, everybody wants to come to your team because they think you can repeat. That's exactly how the season's played out. And then on top of that, you have an injured MVP caliber quarterback coming back, trying to get into rhythm again. I just think this is just textbook hangover. I think you could just call this season. Like, I think at best.
Say it's called this season a wrap?
Yeah, I think at best they're 7-9, 8-8.
So when you say a wrap, so you're saying not even making the playoffs.
You're saying not even winning the division.
Yeah, I don't think they win the division.
Who's winning the division?
I told you the Skins. I think the Skins are going to win the division.
I don't think so.
Washington Redskins are better than the Eagles.
I didn't say better. I just said I think they can win the division.
Because I'm not even big on Wentz, personally.
I'm just saying because of the situation that they're in, they've dealing with a lot of injuries, and they're dealing with a lot of so the first quarter of the season's already done, so you're kind of getting to this almost the halfway point of the season, and you don't really know what they are still. You don't know if they have a good running game. You don't know what the receivers they're working with look like. You don't know what Carson looks like. Right now,
what Carson looks like.
He don't look good.
Yes, he does.
Yeah, he look all right. He's coming.
He don't look
back.
Like what the he last year.
He's coming back, but he's coming back into his own.
Yeah.
Like
he just can't stay on his feet.
What he looks like right now is not what he's going to look like week 9, week 10.
Right.
And okay, so we still have time to see. I'm just saying going off right now, even though the Skins just got blown out by the Saints, but that was to be expected.
Was it?
Yeah.
To be expected like that?
Yeah.
It's the Saints.
The Redskins are not that good, bro.
It's the Saints. The Redskins, the Skins defense is decent. They've got a lot of – first of all, Josh Norman is – you want to talk about salesman. He
oversold. Sure used car salesman.
He got their ass, man. Shout out to Josh Norman.
He sold him with a car with no engine.
Yeah, Michael Thomas was going at it on Twitter.
Hey.
I love it, man. We need more of this in the NFL.
I knew that was a bad sign. And once you really look like those Carolina games that he was so-called good in, he's really just his own corner.
I mean, but he was good, though.
He was good, but outside – but if he's never
Sherman,
been –
it's not like Sherman.
But he got paid to be man-to-man.
That's what I was saying.
But he got paid to be man-to-man. And with Sherman, he had another cast with him.
But is that Josh's fault?
Right.
Or who was evaluating him and also presented the deal?
Hey, no. Hey, and his agent are. Hey, they should win an ESPY.
So at the end of the day, no, 1,000%. I think especially in the secondary, it's about fit and scheme. Not everybody is Deion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Richard Sherman, when he was considered the best corner in the game, he was not a man to man guy. Mm-hmm. He was gonna play on that left side or right side, whatever side, but that's the side he's going to be on.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it is what it is, man. Josh Norman, like y'all said, he oversold himself, mm-hmm. and everybody else was punks for believing it. You know what I'm saying? So he was going to get somebody. Somebody was going to shine Josh Norman.
And Washington was desperate because
they always desperate.
Exactly.
They always
with
desperate.
Kirk Cousins and Jay Gruden work.
But that's the thing. I think that the best franchises overall – have a little bit of self-control. And the Redskins have never, ever, 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 ever had self-control because they're always going for the big name, for this guy, that guy. And it never works out.
I promise, B, we're going to get into basketball next.
Oh, no.
But LeSean McCoy to the Eagles? Y'all heard about that?
No.
How's that case going with him, though?
Don't worry about that. Yeah. Don't worry about that. That's BS, man. We left that alone. Yeah. Oh, and shout out to all of the media publications that didn't cover Eric Reed.
Take it to Neil.
Yeah, I'm glad we kind of moving on from that.
I'm so happy, too. But I'm glad he's keeping that same energy, though.
You know, that's good, but I'm glad we just kind of just like, okay, great, bro, do your thing. But watch out for Alvin Kamara. Watch out. Hey, because he came out with that Make Africa Home Again.
Yeah. And that cap shirt. With that cap shirt, yeah.
No.
If he keep playing the way he is. Well, nah, he was actually heavily featured. Mark Ingram was the main guy. I thought that was just because he just got back. Saying, you know, like,
watch out, because, you know, Drew Brees don't believe you should be kneeling.
Right.
Drew
sure
Brees.
Don't. Yeah, he was against all that cap stuff. People forget about that.
Black City.
Right. Right, exactly. That's
but,
crazy.
But he's the guy that runs that city.
Let's say,
he's the man. They'll give him. He gets a good pass.
He do whatever he want in New Orleans.